Thank you. As I listened to that lovely presentation that brings us into this hour of worship, I thought about all of the contributions that this branch has made in the lives of so many people down through the years. And the Schoenemann family was contributing in that way long before these girls made the scene. So we thank you for being here and for bringing us this lovely opportunity that we have to worship our Lord Jesus Christ, as we have assembled in his name. I've been watching, and I didn't notice this week, but in previous weeks we've had all of these vegetables out here with a sign, "Just help yourself." And you know, everything's scriptural. And I think about the Lord to the early saints, how he told them, "You will come back singing songs of everlasting joy, planting vineyards and eating the fruit thereof." Your children, although we may not be the blood children of those, in many cases we are still their spiritual children. And I feel humble and directly tied to them in that which they did. And my own garden has just been marvelous. It seems like there'll be one or two items that just don't make it, but then there's others that make up the difference. And so I've been thinking, well, a long time, about how the Lord used this description of his vineyard and the planting. And so those are the scriptures which I've selected out of the book of Isaiah this morning. "For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build houses and inherit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit thereof. They shall not build and another inherit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands."
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We have assembled once more, Father, in your house to come to praise thy name and worship thee. We pray, Father, above all else, that the good spirit that we have felt so many times might be present with us this morning, that it might touch each one, that they might feel thy presence, that I might bask in the good spirit. We pray also for a brother who would speak this morning, that you would be with him and bear him up, for we are convinced of his desire, Father, to serve thee. Be with us then, Father, throughout this hour, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
From 1 John, the 3rd chapter, 17th and 18th verse. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue alone, but in deed and in truth. Brothers and sisters, at this very instant, once again, we're called to dedicate all that we are and all that we have to the establishment and the building up of the kingdom of God. And in that very same instant, we're called to place in these trays enough. To that end, would you bow with me? Our loving Heavenly Father, at this moment, Father, we bow in an effort to humble ourselves before you. And we come with thankful hearts, thankful for the many wonderful blessings that you have granted us with. And thankful, Father, for the many material things that you have allowed us to accumulate. We thank you, Father, for bringing us together this day that we might discover thy will for us concerning thy kingdom. May all that we do this hour, Father, bring honor and glory unto you. And may all that we give be enough. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, Father, and I pray it in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
It's always good to be in fellowship and worship with my brothers and sisters. For a call to worship this morning, I have chosen out of the section 153 of the Doctrine and Covenants. Let my word be preached to the bruised and the brokenhearted, as well as those who are enmeshed in sin, longing to repent and follow me. Let the truths of my gospel be proclaimed as widely and as far as the dedication of the saints, especially through the exercise of their temporal stewardship, will allow. May God add his blessings upon this hour.
The Lord is my shepherd, no want shall I know. He leadeth my soul where the still waters flow, and safe in green pastures he maketh me rest, restores me when wandering, redeems when oppressed, restores me when wandering, redeems when oppressed.
Through the valley and shadow of death, though I stray, thy rod shall defend me, thy staff be my stay. Since thou art my guardian, no evil I fear, no harm can befall with my comforter near.
No harm can befall with my comforter near. Thy mercy will follow me all of my days, and in thine own house thou preparest my place with blessings unmeasured. My cup runneth o'er. Oh, what shall I ask of thy holiness more? Oh, what shall I ask of thy holiness more?
It's good to have Todd, you and your family here with us today. Todd and his family are probably one of the first families in that I got to know as we started coming up here to visit at the Buckner Restoration Branch when Tony and Amy started going here. And so it's a real pleasure to sit under the ministry of your family in song. This morning, I want to share a few things that I feel the Lord has put upon my heart. And the scripture that I read for an opening verse, let the word be preached to the bruised and the brokenhearted. And as I look around, as you look around, your brothers and sisters. Do you see the bruised and the brokenhearted? Do you see those that are enmeshed in sin, longing to repent and follow the Master? You know, sometimes we have to see beyond what we see with the natural eye. But our spiritual eyes need to be opened that we might see what lies beneath that outward appearance which we see in the lives of mankind around about us. I find that, you know, sometimes we can see the things that are really evident and real apparent, but many times we have trouble seeing the times when there's a broken heart that's suffering and weeping for someone to come up and share a kind word, to tell somebody that they care, that they love them, to ask them if they could help them in some way. And we have that daily in our lives with those around about us. We have that daily in our lives with our neighbors and people that we work with. Many times I've been surprised as you get to know people, and when you first look at them or talk to them, you think, oh, well, I don't know what I'm getting myself into. And you find out that they're just like you and I. They have feelings, they have needs. They need to hear the same things that we need to hear, to be lifted up and to be strengthened, to be encouraged. And those that are enmeshed in sin, longing to repent. Isn't that each one of us? Aren't we all sinners? Or have you accomplished that which the Lord desires of you? A few Sundays back, we attended the Woodbine Branch for Sacrament Sunday. And as I sat there and contemplated upon the things that were being said, the Lord brought these thoughts up upon my mind. Man gives up on his fellow man, but God's love is so great that he doesn't give up on us. Have you ever thought where your life would be if God had given up on you? If he continually didn't have that put before you, that of his gospel, those lives that he's put in your path to bring you to the point where you are today? I've seen people and have visited with people, that they get to the point in despair so much that they give up on themselves. And if there isn't someone out there to teach them about the love of God that He has for all His creation, if there's not someone out there to be a shoulder or a strengthening force, and we see it many times that people take their lives because they cannot cope. John in 3:16, a verse that we all know. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Oh, the worth of a soul in the eyes of the Lord, and a rejoicing that goes on in heaven when one soul is saved. Think of the rejoicing we have when we see our children respond to Jesus Christ. Think of the joy we have when we see our little ones entering into the waters of baptism. Think of the joy we have when someone that is older, that hadn't had the opportunity in their youth to come to know the Lord, which finds the Lord and desires to come in at the gate and be a part of His church, that they might be a part of His kingdom in the last days. What a joy. And it mattereth not which hour in which they come, whether it's the first or the 12th. The reward is the same for those that love and serve their God. I had a dream this week. It was about a person I know, have known for many years. But I haven't been able to talk to that person for some time. And in this dream, I'd gone to a gathering. I don't know what kind of gathering it was. And as I went into the door, I saw many people that I knew, had been with, had worshiped with before. And I saw this person sitting there with her back towards me. And there was an option put before me. I could turn and I could walk away and let things go on the way they had in this dream for some time. Or I could go and talk with this person. Having that option put before me, feeling the promptings of the Spirit, I felt that I needed to go and say hi. And when I did, the person arose and turned to me and began to hug me. And I hugged that person back and told them how much that I loved them. and how long I had been longing to share that with them. I look forward to that day when I have that opportunity. It gives me great hope that the Lord is working in their lives and as he's working in my life. You know, I could have walked away and it would have been a missed opportunity. Sometimes when we have the opportunity put before us, brothers and sisters, and when we don't take those opportunities, we never have that opportunity again. Now, who's going to be accountable for that? We are. I found a quote from Brother Oakman. And I hear Brother Oakman quoted quite often. Wish I'd been able to know the man personally. In the spirit which he carries. But those words which he has shared, under the power of the Spirit of the living God, still carries the same spirit as if he were here to say them today. And the quote is, if the foundation of Zion is not seen in the lives of men, there is no possibility for the kingdom. And so I ask you, brothers and sisters, is the foundation of Zion seen in your life today? Could someone walk up and say to you that I recognize by the spirit which you carry that you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Could they say that I see that you have the love in your heart for all people? Our lives, brothers and sisters, need to be centered around our God in heaven and His Son Jesus Christ, that is a mediator of time. So often we lose sight of that, and the decisions we make are focused on those things in the world around about us. Our jobs, or something that we might have great interest in. And then we say, oh yes, tomorrow's Sunday. I need to go to church. Do you give to the Lord Jesus Christ the same determination that you give to everything else that you do in your lives? And is everything else in your life centered around that which would be a kingdom building quality? In Matthew 5:50, ye are therefore commanded to be perfect, even as the Father who is in heaven is perfect. And then we would hear the word said, oh, I can't be perfect. There's only one that is perfect, and that's Jesus. And yet, the Lord in His Scriptures commanded us to be perfect. In Genesis, in the 8th chapter and 16th verse, Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. Is it possible that man can become perfect? And when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I, the Almighty God, given to thee a commandment, that thou shalt walk uprightly before me and be perfect. And didn't God say to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? In Luke 6:40, a disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. We are to become like the example that has been set before us, even Jesus Christ. In Psalms 18:30, and God, thy ways are perfect. The word of the Lord is tried, and He is a buckler to all those who trust in Him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock? Who is a rock save our God? Our God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my ways perfect. You see, to be what the Lord would have us to be can only come about as we come closer to God and His purposes in us. There are some things, and I'm going to run out of time. In 2 Nephi, it talks about having a perfect faith. Talks about having a perfect brightness of hope and a perfect love of God and of all men. In Romans, the 12th chapter, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove what that good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. Each of us need to approach the Lord in prayer, that we might know what that will of God is for our lives. That in every way and everything that we do, we might glorify His name. That we might come blameless before Him in the day of judgment. In section 140 of our Doctrine and Covenants, the work of preparation and the perfection of the saints goes forward slowly. The Zionic conditions are no further away nor closer than the spiritual conditions of my people justifies. But my word shall not fail, neither will my promises, for the foundation of the Lord standeth sure. The theme for the week was in Genesis, in the 6th chapter. And I want to read just a couple of verses before that. And the Lord spake unto Adam, saying, Inasmuch as the children are conceived in sin, thy children are conceived in sin, even so they begin to grow up. And sin conceiveth in their hearts, and they taste the bitter that they may know the prize, to prize the good. And it is given unto them to know good and evil. Therefore they are agents unto themselves. And I have given unto you another law and a commandment, therefore teach it unto your children, that all men everywhere must repent, for they can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. You see, brothers and sisters, if we haven't achieved that which the Lord has asked us to achieve, then we too must have the need to repent. For the kingdom of God is the pure in heart. There's a book out, maybe some of you have read it, Whosoever Repenteth by L. Wayne Updike. And he makes this quotation. Repentance is a conscious positive response to an ever-increasing revelation of God. You know, so often we think, well, man, somebody tells me that I need to repent. I'm really bad. And yet, as you read the Scriptures and understand repentance, and when you repent, you realize that as you repent, you become closer to God. And it is the avenue by which we can come closer to God. Had a man show up at work the other day from another faith. And he made this comment to one of my fellow employees. And it must have really struck him, because he usually doesn't talk about religious things. But I was asking him about what the man had to say about the farm and stuff like that. He said, the response of that man was, when I began to talk to him, and I'm a repentant alcoholic. And that stuck in his mind, that this man said, I'm a repentant alcoholic. And we know that alcoholics, that to overcome that's a great feat in its endurance. And staying strong with that which the convictions you have to overcome. But so is our repentance in all things. It's not just to say I'm sorry. But repentance is a changing of the way of life in which we live. When our lives and when we're doing things that are unpleasing to the Lord, we need to change our ways, and through recognizing the needs of the changes which we need to make in our lives and asking the Lord Jesus Christ, or asking God in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we can overcome and we can change our lives. But it has to be something that is not temporary, but that it is lifelong process while we live on this earth, which will become eternal. It's a change of attitude. And we cannot have repentance unless we have forgiveness. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is there to forgive us when we truly repent. Sometimes we need to learn to forgive ourselves. I had another dream. This week, my preparation for this morning. And in that dream, I was standing talking to my boss. And I had this other job, which was a temporary job, at another place of employment where I'd been before. And in this dream, the draw was that I needed to go back and finish that job. And yet, as I contemplated going back, I realized that it would jeopardize the job I have today. A job where I feel with to the utmost that the Lord has placed me. Whether it's for the job or whether it's because I wouldn't have moved probably for any other reason, other than I felt the Lord had commanded me to go. So there again, it was a decision time. Brothers and sisters, we're faced with that daily. As we come to the Lord and ask Him for forgiveness of a sin that we have, that has been a part of our lives, and we move on into the stead in which the Lord has placed us in our lives, the spiritual level in which we are today. The adversary is out there to put those temptations before you to go back. The Israelites wanted to go back into Egypt because it was just too tough. Brothers and sisters, this life isn't going to get easier. It's only going to get tougher. As those things transpire in the world that will yet come upon the face of this earth. And it will take a strong people, a tried people, that are faithful, that won't look back, but keep their eye focused on Jesus Christ and keep moving forward in their lives, that continue to repent and continue to grow and become stronger and stronger in their conviction and their testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. That their lives might become that which is evident to all those who see. That people might let us go up and learn of her ways. Speaking of Zion. Because of those and that which dwells in Zion. Section 142, the hopes of my people. And the goals of my church, while not yet fully realized, and at times, and to many seemingly distant, are closer to realization than many recognize. It is yet day when all can work. Night will come when for many of my people, opportunity to assist will have passed. This is our probationary time. And we never know when our last day on this earth might be. It is yet day and it is our time to respond to the Lord Jesus Christ. My mom and dad taught us when we were little boys whatever you do, do your best. That's what the Lord's asking of each of you to do your best, to be the best that you can be. And when you do your best, when we did our best, our parents were always happy. In coaching young children in different sports, as a coach, you were always satisfied when each individual gave their best. Some had more talents than others, and some was able to do better than others. But the satisfaction came from knowing that each one did their best. There was a song that I think was mentioned earlier. Give of your best to the Master. Give of your best to the Master. Give of your strength, of your youth. Through your soul's fresh glowing, a door into the battle of truth. Jesus has set the example. Doubtless was he young and brave. Give him your loyal devotion. Give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the Master. Give him first place in your heart. Give him first place in your service. Consecrate every part. Given to him shall be given. God his beloved Son gave. Gratefully seeking to serve him, give him the best that you have. Give him your best to the Master. Naught else is worthy his love. He gave himself for your ransom, gave up his glory above. Laid down his life without murmuring. You from sin, ruin to save. Give your heart at your heart's adoration. Give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the Master. Give him the strength of your youth. Clad in salvation's full armor, join in the battle for truth. Give our best is what the Lord is asking. Example of that I seen was at reunion. Working in the kitchen. And a young brother named Kenny. Many of you know. Was there to help in the kitchen. And he came up and said, "Dan, can I help?" And so he helped me. And when he was there, most everything we did together. Whether mop the floors or take out trash. And then he'd get tired, and he knew he was getting weary. And he'd say, "We done yet?" I says, "Yeah, Kenny, we're done. You can go home." But he wasn't satisfied for just helping one meal. He says, "Can I help you Monday?" And the next meal, I says, "Yeah, you can help the next meal if you want." And then he'd say after that meal, "Can I help you Monday?" Every day was a new day. Every meal was a new time. And he wanted to help. And he gave it his very best. And the Lord gave me the assurance, because he was giving his best, that he would have place in his kingdom. And what a joy it brought to my soul. And that's what the Lord is asking of each of us, to give of our best, the best that we have. I'm going to close with these two scriptures. First one's out of Mosiah 2:20. Even so, I would that you should remember, always to retain a remembrance, the greatness of God and your own unworthiness, or your own nothingness, and His goodness and long sufferings towards you, unworthy creatures. And humble yourselves even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily and standing steadfastly in the faith of which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of the angel. And behold, I say unto you that if ye do this, ye shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God and always retain a remission of your sins. And ye shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of Him that is that Him that created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true. And out of 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, beginning at the 11th verse. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you, is my prayer. Thank you.
God, eternal Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. Father, we thank thee for thy Son who has been present in this congregation this day, that his Spirit has attended us all. And we thank you for the great blessing that he poured out upon us and the looseness of the words that you placed upon your servant's heart. And I pray that we will take those words to our heart, that we will continue in this week to come, that we will remember all the things that you have promised us and taught us and showed us. and that we will become a children meet for the city of Zion, and that we will be that light upon a hill, and that we might do thy will in all of our lives. And we thank you for the great blessing and help that you have provided us, even that great comforter. And we ask that that comforter would go with us and before us now as I pronounce a benediction upon this service, that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and truly thine is the power and the glory. For thou art Jesus the Christ, our Lord and Savior, in whose name I pray. Amen.